Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas, on Wednesday, November the 7th. And welcome to our video commentary. Well, video commentary, my audio commentary. My goodness, I got the wrong idea here. It's my audio commentary. What am I saying? Anyway, today we're going to talk about the election. This is the day after. The day after the election. I've got some thoughts about the general election, what happened in Texas, and pretty much where does this go from here? I mean, where does this go from here? Where, you know, what does this election mean, and what's it going to be like the next couple of years with a Democrat House? Well, first of all, the numbers. Let's look at the numbers. The Democrats apparently picked up 37, or they won 37 seats, which translates into a majority of 14. They're going to be up 14, which is 232-203, if that's how it shakes out. 232-203, the House will be run by the Democrats with a majority of 14. That can be good news and bad news. If they have any divisions in the party, and they have plenty of them, then that means that this is going to be a very complicated task for whoever the Speaker of the House is, and I don't necessarily accept that it's going to be Nancy Pelosi. She's getting the recognition as the de facto Speaker, but there's about 20 Democrats who have openly said that they do not want Nancy Pelosi. There's a new generation of Democrats who are not necessarily wanting Nancy Pelosi. So this is not a done deal with Nancy Pelosi. But either way, whoever the Speaker is going to have a very difficult time governing with a majority of 14, particularly when you take a look at the number of Democrats who were elected. You know, I was keeping track of this on the television. I was keeping track of this and just not, you know, marking the number of times that I saw a congressional election won by the Democrats with about 1 to 2 percentage points, let's say, in the popular vote. And I was able to count 10 of them. So my point is that of that 14 majority that they have, there's 10 Democrats who barely won their districts. They certainly had to compete very hard in those districts. Which means that that district is already competitive for 2020. That there's going to be an election in that district in 2020. It could be a rematch of 2018. And many of those Democrats are going to have to go back to the district and say, we did this, we did that. And most of those competitive districts were not places where the Democrats were talking about impeachment or ICE or stuff like that. They were primarily talking about health care. That was the issue that drove their many of these campaigns. So what happens? What happens with many of these Democrats from those close districts? My guess is that they want to go back home and say, we got something done. Impeaching Trump or trying to impeach Trump, they're never going to actually get him, but trying to impeach him is not the kind of thing that is going to go over well when they go back to the districts. I don't think people want that, by the way. I don't think people want to go through this impeachment and, you know, shooting rocks at each other like we've been doing. I think people want something done. They want to see some governing done. And now the ball is on the Democrats' court. And I think it's going to be hard for them to come together and do that. I also think that many of those Democrats in these, what I would describe as very tight districts, I think many of them could easily move over to the Republican side and work with some Republicans to get things done. So, yes, they won, and congratulations to the Democrats for winning, but this is not a major victory. This is not a blue wave. There's no blue wave. There was no blue wave in the United States last night, not a single evidence of a blue wave. There were some parts of the country where the Democrats did well, like in California, but I think everybody expected that. I mean, I think everybody expected the governor of California to win. I don't know if that's a surprise for anybody. So no blue wave is what we can say about the Democrats over at the House. Now, over at the Senate, it looks like it could be three. The gain for the Republicans, it could be three, which means their numbers will go to 54. There's still one election up in the air, and that's in Arizona, where I think the Republican is going to pull it out. she seems to have a pretty good margin at the moment, but you never know until these votes are counted, and it may not be another day. I think it maybe today, later today, or early tomorrow. But if she wins, then that would give the Republicans 54 seats in the Senate. It would also give the Republicans a great honor of electing the first woman from Tennessee and the first woman from Arizona. So when you hear about Republicans and women, well, Republican women are winning. So I'm not sure that all of this about the Republican and women maybe is as absolute as you would hear in the media. Well, let's talk a little bit about Texas. What happened in Texas? Well, obviously the Cruz or Roark effort turned out to be a lot closer than I was calling it for. I said 10 points, and I was sticking to that all along. It turned out to be 4. So what happened? How did it go? You know, why did I say it was going to be 10, and why did it turn out to be 4? I think what I missed, and a lot of people like me missed, I think we missed the incredible campaign that Robert O'Rourke ran in Texas. And when I said it was going to be 10, what I was basically looking at was a traditional, conventional, liberal versus conservative campaign that would be run, and that obviously Ted Cruz would easily win an election like that based on issues. What Robert O'Rourke was able to do, he was able to basically turn this away from issues and make it more about general things, also personality. And on top of that, he had all the money in the world to do that. He had all the money in the world to spend a lot of money recruiting a lot of people, signing up a lot of people. I mean, look, they were flooding my home. I mean, I was getting a daily brochure from the O'Rourke campaign. I was getting all kinds of phone calls. I mean, they literally had the money to go out there and get people to turn out, and people turned out, no question about it. I think they were also able to appeal because of all the money they had the time and the effort to have offices everywhere and to appeal to a lot of young people at the universities who normally don't vote, and they were able to do that. So you got to give the O'Rourke credit, the O'Rourke campaign here, a tremendous amount of credit for what they did for the repackaging of Robert O'Rourke. I mean, they basically took a liberal from South Texas who's voted with Nancy Pelosi almost 100% of the time, and they made him into a centrist who was going to bring us together. And we were all walking down the street saying, you know, kumbaya, or all you need is love, or whatever it may be. That was their success. They were able to do that. And again, you got to give them credit. They almost got away with it. But at the end, once all those rural areas began to come in at the end, about 9 o'clock or 9:30, that put Cruz over the top, and he stayed over the top. So it ended up being 52-48, and it should have never been that close had it been about ideas, but it wasn't about ideas. It was about personality, and that's the reason I believe that he did as well as he did. We're going to take a little break. I want you to hear from my friend Carlos Geddes, and we'll be right back.
This is Carlos Geddes Harpist. I would like to see you guys this Saturday night at Tzatziki's at the Star, located at 6765 Winning Drive in Frisco. I'll be performing instrumental high-energy music at 6:30 until 9:30 p.m. Make your reservation today at 972-377-2276. Remember, Tzatziki's at the Star is the place to hang out on Saturday night. For upcoming dates, look for me on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
And we have a link to Carlos Geddes on the show information right under show description. You'll see the link to his website. We also have a link to my friend Duke Machado, who is a car dealer. So if you're looking for a car, click on that and talk to my friend Duke, and we'll see if he can help you out. A couple of on this day in history moments. 1972. This was the day that Richard Nixon was reelected. One of the massive reelection campaigns of all time. He won 49 states. He got 61% of the popular vote. It was just amazing. If you look at the map, the numbers were just mammoth for President Nixon. He defeated, of course, Senator McGovern that year. Interesting how the 1972 Nixon reelection and the 1964 Johnson reelection, within a couple of years, it was pretty much all gone because of Vietnam in the case of Johnson, and of course Watergate in the case of Nixon. But on this day, 1972, I mean, they were very happy at the White House. Quite a reelection campaign. Also on this day in 1940, and then again in 1944, President Roosevelt was elected for the third time in 1940 and reelected for the fourth time in 1944. So we remember some reelections on this day, Nixon and Roosevelt. We also say happy number 80 to Jim Cott, a great left-hander who I kind of came to know through the Minnesota Twins. And we say happy number 76 to one of the great pop performers, Johnny Rivers, Secret Agent Man. I'm sure you remember that that great song that he recorded many years ago. Well, the big story, if you're not up to speed, the big story, we're going to get into more of this on our next program, because the details are still up in the air, and I don't really have all the details. But the big story this afternoon, not the election anymore, the big story is that Attorney General Sessions has resigned. He has apparently been replaced by now Attorney General Whitaker. I don't know if that's a temporary assignment. I don't know how that works, honestly, because I always thought these things had to be confirmed by the U.S. Senate. This could be what these appointments that they make, recess appointments that they make until the Senate comes back. That could be the reasoning here. But we don't have Attorney General Sessions anymore. We now have Attorney General Wicker. This is not a surprise for anybody who has been watching and following the events. This is not a surprise. Clearly, President Trump was not happy with Attorney General Sessions. I was not happy with Attorney General Sessions. I have to tell you that I think Attorney General Sessions, in my opinion, has been way too slow and way too passive in dealing with some of these crises that we have. And, you know, the FISA warrant that was obtained potentially illegally and by lying to a judge and all of that. So I think there's a lot of stuff in the air. I'm not going to get into a lot of it now. We're going to do it more on our next show, because there's a lot of stuff up in the air. But as to why it happened today, I think that we still need to know that. But I think, you know, the response from some people in the media and some people in the Democrat Party is that this is a constitutional crisis. No, it's not a constitutional crisis. It's not a constitutional crisis. The president can fire the attorney general. The attorney general, in this case, resigned, from what we understand, and everything is fine. We have a Justice Department. We have a country. We haven't gone off the cliff or anything like that. And over the next few days, we'll see how this shakes out. I don't think anything major is going to happen. I don't think that President Trump is going to fire Mr. Mueller. He has no reason to fire Mr. Mueller. Mr. Mueller has nothing on him. And as much of a nuisance as this investigation has been to President Trump, and I think unfairly so, because I think there have been many, many stories in the press about this investigation that have turned out to be completely false. But I don't think that Mueller is going to get fired. I think he'll be allowed to complete his job, and that's it. And then everything will come to an end, and we'll get over this, supposedly this constitutional crisis, which is not a constitutional crisis, and then we'll get back to, I guess, getting ready for Thanksgiving. And congratulations to everybody who won the election, Senator Cruz in particular. He's going to be back, and that's a wonderful thing. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas. Thank you for listening, and we'll talk to you the next time.